It's time for our weekly college football conversation surrounding the subdivision with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, what happened in Brookings last weekend? I'm just leaving it open-ended for you.
Well, there's a word for that in English language. It's called a whoopin'. And it's whipping, but with a U. That was a whoopin', is what that was. And it started from Jump Street. I get the fact that there were some built-in excuses for the Jackrabbits, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Chase Mason
mm-hmm.
not playing. That don't mean their defense can't tackle nobody, does it? Or that they can't get stops on defense and give their team a chance. I think NDSU could have scored 60 in this game if they wanted to. And I've said it before when I've been asked, what did you think about the NDSU offense? And I'm like, well, there are times when I have never been prouder of the Citadel defense for shutting them out for a quarter, right? And this was another example of that. They had no answer for anything North Dakota State did, those Jackrabbits, I mean. And it was, if you were a Bison fan, it was a beautiful thing. If you were a Jackrabbits fan, maybe you're coming back down to earth a little bit. Maybe you were a little bit overrated by everyone, including us, going into that ball game. But we'll see what happens as we move on down the road. But I think it was a very rude awakening for South Dakota State, just exactly where they are as a football team, and that they had a lot of things transpire in that program, and they were able to maybe hide it a little bit through the first little bit of the season. But they ain't nothing. You can't hide nothing against that Bison team. If you have a weakness, they're going to find it, and they are going to exploit it, and that is exactly what happened on Saturday night in Brookings, South Dakota.
And I understand you. There's two sides of this coin. One side of it says, hey, Chase Mason was out, so we throw it out the window. The other side says, hey. What's that?
Does Chase Mason play defense?
Exactly. The other side of the coin is, regardless of who's playing, it's that next man up mentality, right? I understand it was Luke Marble's first start as a Division I FCS quarterback, right? But the first four drives for South Dakota State, if you exclude the plays where they punted, they had 13 total plays in their first four drives. Is the offense just sputtering that bad without the dynamic legs of Chase Mason for the Jacks? Or is this the Bison defense just that good with a bunch of names that outside of Fargo, a lot of people in the country don't know?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. And I say that because it was almost like NDSU was daring them to throw the football with Marble. And I kept waiting for them to do something to get that defensive line and the linebackers to have to at least move their eyes a little bit. And they were just completely unsuccessful in everything that they tried. And if a lot of your offense is built off of play action and you can't run the ball, well, who's going to respect your running game if you can't move the ball 4, 5, 6 yards at a clip down the football field? And the Jacks couldn't do that. And so much is predicated with them being able to push people around up front on the offensive line. And they got some pushback from the Bison defensive line and had no answer for it.
If you were an opponent, and now this is a question maybe that you're just going to yell at me for. That's all right, though. If you're an opponent trying to go up against the Bison the rest of the season, you see how they set up against South Dakota State, a 16-play drive for 84 yards. Then their next two drives, they went 5 for 63, 7 for 68. All three were touchdowns. They were all slightly different in how they got from point A to point B. Is there a weakness, do you think, on this team? I mean, you've had twice in, the last 2 weeks that you've had a Cole Payton interception with some weird freakish thing happening in the red zone. But other than that, it seems as though every drive ends up with either 3 or 6.
If I knew the answer to that, James, somebody in the Missouri Valley Football Conference would come and snap me up, and I'd be running the defense rather than talking about it, right? So you have to take something away from them. But you have to have the athletes to have the ability to take something away from them. And nobody so far this year has had that group. You know, what is that old internet meme? You're not that guy, pal. Well, we haven't met that guy, pal, who can take something away from the Bison and make them do things they don't want to do. It's just exercising their will against their opponent week in, week out, and it really doesn't seem to matter who it is that's lined up on the other side from them.
Kevin, when it comes to looking at your...
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi, man. Glad you could make
yeah.
it.
Don't tell them what we said before Jason got here.
When it comes to your top 25 this week, obviously you drop SDSU in your rankings. You got Montana 2, North Dakota up to number 3, SDSU 4, as I said, Montana State 5, and Tarleton State 6. Is there anybody that right now as a fan or observer of FCS football that we think can give NDSU a contest? Because right now it doesn't feel like anybody's on the same level as NDSU this season.
I hope so for the field. I really do. But you just have to figure, and we've talked about this in our personal lives a couple of times, Jay, not on the air, that at some point that football team is going to have to put the ball on the ground, NDSU. They're going to have a bad game where, you know, the quarterback throws a couple of pick sixes or something. And if you're playing them, you have to hope that that ball game is against football teams that have good players and they just can't seem to put it all together. That they're going to do it, you just hope that it's not against you when it happens, right? So I really don't know the answer to that. I would think that Tarleton State or Montana might have in the playoffs the ability to turn a game into a track meet or something like that, you know, score on the offensive side of the ball a lot of points, but the Bison defense has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, you know, the next test, people are going to say it's the next game, but that ball game against the Fighting Hawks, because they do some things on offense that are kind of quirky, but the quarterback is very, very solid. Can run the ball, can pass the ball, and they have some good skill guys on the outside. That's for the Bison.
When it comes to Tarleton State, I mean, they've got that oil money down south in Texas, and you knew they were going to become a factor fairly quickly. But how legit is Tarleton State? Because to me, obviously, every year I go back to either a Missouri Valley team or a Big Sky team being one of the two teams, if not both teams, in a national championship. But how legit is this Tarleton State team? I mean, I know you guys have had them ranked in the top five, top six for most of the season. How big of a threat are they to maybe everybody outside of NDSU?
We have them ranked number 6 and they're undefeated with an FBS win. What does that tell you, our opinion of them? Right? So now the FBS win was over Hudson High School, which is what people who go to the other military schools refer to as the military academy at West Point. Right? Mm-hmm. So they have the ability to light the scoreboard up, but it's hard to judge them. And it's hard to judge a team like Rhode Island. This is the same deal. The same type of question marks. If you barely play anyone who is any good, how can you judge that team by what your eyes are showing? The eye test, Tarleton State has dudes, but is everybody that they're playing have equal amounts of dudes? Not likely in that league. So that's why we have this thing called the playoffs, which they're going to have their opportunity to make us look foolish, to make other people on FCS media look foolish, but we've seen this thing before. I am drawn back to Sam Houston, who, gaudy offensive numbers, people thought they could compete, and what happened in the playoffs? They got their boots bloused repeatedly, except for the spring season, which we hope never, ever happens again. So we've seen this before, and unfortunately for Tarleton State, they have to bear the onus of it. And that onus is, in this subdivision, if you want to be one of those teams, man, you got to prove it by beating somebody when the weather is cold, probably in a dome, perhaps outside in South Dakota. But you're going to have to prove it. And we're not at that point yet.
Trying to switch avenues a little bit, kind of similar to what you guys were just talking, Tarleton State. But I know for FCS Nation fans, your show on our airwaves airs on Saturday mornings. So I'm curious on Friday, well, actually Thursday too, you've got a couple of matchups on ESPNU, ESPN2. You've got Norfolk State at Delaware State Thursday at 6 on the U. Friday, Brown at Pennsylvania at 6 on the U. And then the nightcap is an ESPN2 matchup over in the Big Sky with Northern Arizona hosting Idaho. Of those three matchups, is there some intrigue that we can look at as we enter another great weekend of college football?
Well, that depends. Are either of you Philadelphia Eagles fans?
Not in the slightest.
Not at all.
In the slightest. No, Michael Vick, okay. I wish him well, but oof.
Well, you know, you got that matchup at the link there in Philadelphia between Michael Vick's team and DeSean Jackson's team. That's interesting. That'll draw a lot of eyeballs. But it seems to me that Idaho got their stuff in a pile just a little bit last week. And Northern Arizona has been kind of one of these fringe teams, right? Don't really know what to do with them. That win over Incarnate Word has not aged well. And it aged even more poorly last week after they got just absolutely mollywopped by UTRGV, the Vaqueros, which are going to be a factor long before people wish they would be as a startup program, it appears. So that game is interesting because Idaho is probably not going to be going anywhere, which the injury bug hit that football team really hard. It seems like there's one team in every conference that happens to. So they have a chance to be a spoiler here and ruin Northern Arizona's chances to maybe be that last Big Sky team in the playoffs, which they snuck in last year, probably shouldn't have been there. And it showed in the playoff game. But that's what's up for grabs there on Friday night. Is Northern Arizona a team that's going to allow the Big Sky to bump some other conferences' teams out of the playoffs because Northern Arizona is sitting there with a pretty good record but hasn't beat anybody?
This weekend, one of the Valley matchups that has some intrigue because – you're trying to figure out how legit one squad is. The other one at this point has turned into a bit of a spoiler. And this one's going to be down in South Dakota with the Coyotes taking on the University of North Dakota, a top 10 team in UND in your poll. South Dakota, a squad that has dropped out just due to the partially because of coaching changes. The portal hit them hard, but they still have Aiden Bauman at quarterback. It's also in South Dakota. Can some spooky things happen here similar to the Alaris Center, do you think? Or is this one for the taking for the UND Fighting Hawks?
I don't know. I really think that North Dakota probably lines up and just wins this thing. They were not intimidated at Washington Grizzly Stadium. They made some mistakes that didn't allow them to win that football game. It was more about what North Dakota didn't do than what Montana did that particular Saturday. But I think they learned their lesson there. That in high-level FCS, if points are available, by God, you take them. And I think that that was a hard lesson learned by the new coaching staff in the grandest of all forks, that, you know, you can't not kick field goals and expect to win football games when points are welcome. You have to take them. And I think they learned that lesson. I expect them to handle USD. The game in Fargo is two similar type teams. Quarterback can run the ball extremely well. Defense has played okay at times for Youngstown State. But this is also kind of like that Idaho-Northern Arizona game on Friday night. Is Youngstown State going to be that team from the Valley that gets into the playoffs? And you're like, well, how did that happen? Well, you know, here's how. So, you know, they have an opportunity. Everybody that plays North Dakota State has an opportunity to upend the entire season. And if NDSU doesn't do what they absolutely 100% normally do, which is come out and play a great football game, it'll be uncomfortable there in the Fargo Dome because Youngstown State has some pieces.
You had mentioned that game right there. That was the next question I was going to have. But since you had broke it down a little bit, I've heard a lot over the last couple of weeks about this quarterback from Youngstown and what, Bo Brungard, I believe is how you pronounce it. What can you tell us about him and what are the challenges he could present if the offensive line gives him a couple of seconds of time here this Saturday afternoon?
He can sling it a little bit, but he's also extremely dangerous running the football if the play breaks down. you'll see him turn up the field and run if nobody is open and that pocket's collapsing. But they'll also do some things with him in the design QB run game, which can present some problems. He's tough. He's hard to bring down. And he's sneakily fast. So you've got to know where he is at all times and if he has the football. You just have to maybe put a spy on him and take your chances with what's going to happen down the field. NDSU secondary has been pretty darn good. It was a question mark coming into the season. Those guys have held up pretty darn well. I expect that it will present some challenges, but probably not for long. You know, NDSU is a wagon this year, like they almost 100% every year are. And, I mean, it's almost like, you know, when that three-point contest at the NBA All-Star game where Larry Bird kicked open the door of the locker room and he said, "Which one you sons of bitches playing for second?" So I mean, kind of how that feels, you know, right now. That could change. That's how everybody has the feeling just about now.
As we get towards the end of our conversation here this week, Kevin, I believe I heard from you. You're in hostile territory. Give us a game or two that we should be looking at as FCS fans, and also where you find yourself on the turf this weekend.
Well, look, the Tarleton State Abilene Christian game is interesting because Abilene Christian has played pretty darn good at times this year, and they've also played pretty poorly at times this year. So which one of those teams shows up? They could push Tarleton just a little bit. You look at Lamar and Incarnate Word. We have Lamar ranked higher than just about anybody else does because, by God, they've won. It hasn't always been pretty, and they've had some balls bounce their way, but they've won. That needs to continue. Mercer is at Furman. Furman played extremely well against Citadel last week. Didn't turn the ball over, stopped the run, played defense, but Mercer is a different animal with Atkinson, the freshman quarterback. Should be a pretty good ball game. Western Carolina is at Chattanooga, also in the SoCon. Chattanooga has won three in a row after getting blown out by the Citadel in Chattanooga. Western Carolina has Teron Dickens. He's been the difference maker in every ball game he's played this year. If he can be a difference maker again, Western Carolina should handle Chat. And I may be sitting in the parking lot of Paladin Stadium at Furman right now to get these boys to take lemon top picks. But on Saturday, I will be in the greatest place that the good Lord made with his own hands and the greatest city that has ever been built or has ever existed. I will be between the Ashley and the Cooper Rivers in Charleston, South Carolina, for the Military Classic of the South between the Virginia Military Institute and the Citadel. And with honor, my boys will prevail, and that coveted Silver Shaker will stay right where it belongs, in between the Ashley and the Cooper River, sir.
Hey, you had just mentioned, too, as we're closing here, we'll ask you what's in the docket for FCS Nation, and in a two-parter, the Lemon Top Challenge sounds like it's back. Can you give us a little taste of that and how people can help donate to the cause?
Well, look, we have a 17 players this year. There is an NDSU player taking part. Just go to our website, FCSNationRadio.com. Click up in the right-hand corner where it says Alex's Lemonade Stand, and you'll get all the particulars. You can donate money without digging in your own pocket. Take a picture with a lemon on your head, follow the instructions, and $10 will be donated per social media site you post that picture on to the player of your choice all over FCS football. And dude, we're going to do what we do every week. I'm going to try to slow Stone Labanowitz's roll of his youthful exuberance and his love for explosive plays and skill position guys. I'm going to try. Probably not going to succeed. I haven't succeeded one week yet. But we're going to preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football, and we're going to pick the biggest games in FCS football. And we have hit on some doozies in the upset special this year. I don't believe there's been too many people that have given you a couple of plus 600 on the money line upsets this year in FCS. If you're interested in that sort of a thing, give us a listen. Maybe we can make your truck payment.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish you luck with trying to corral Stone this weekend. I know SIU had a tough couple of weeks until last week getting a win, but they're going to a winless Murray State squad and trying to get another Valley victory. So I got to imagine Stone and the Salukis are going to be riding high all the way into Murray State this weekend. So I wish you luck on that one. We appreciate your time. We're looking forward to FCS Nation this weekend, and we'll do it all again next week, Kev.
Appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure to be on with y'all.